This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
I don't have time to run for local station board, and even though I'm shy, I want to be counted.
Free speech is your right, and it's time to exercise those vocal muscles now by voting in the WBAI local station board elections. You may be too shy or too busy to run, but your voice is still very important. You can still be a key part to WBAI and what that is by voting in the local station board election.
What is the local station board election?
The local station board election is a unique fusion of media and democracy. It's the only listener-supported network for which a mechanism for getting involved exists. You have the opportunity to run as a candidate and to vote.
Why have a local station board election? I like WBAI, but I don't see that an election will make a difference as long as I can listen to my favorite shows.
Well, freedom of the press is declining worldwide, with only 17% of the world's population living in a country with freedom of the press. You have to exercise your right to vote and make your voice heard by participating in these elections as a voter. We need your voice to make sure that the right people fill the job to continue WBAI's excellence in serving all people of our community.
But what kind of power does the local station board have?
Well, the LSB can make or break WBAI. They make important decisions as professionals who love WBAI. They advise the station in its decision-making process, and they bring new listeners to the station.
And who are the candidates?
Well, it's too soon for that. The nomination period is still open until June 30th.
Well, what can I do now?
Actually, till July 10th.
Step one?
Make sure you're a member in good standing with WBAI. To be a member in good standing, you have to donate a minimum annually of $25 between June 30th, 2009 and July 19th, 2010. Or you must perform at least 3 hours of volunteer work at WBAI. If you're not already a member, you can become one or renew by visiting WBAI.org and just make a donation.
Step two.
Continue to listen to WBAI throughout the summer for statements from the candidates and to learn all about the elections by visiting PacificaElections2010.org.
Step three.
Vote, vote, vote. In August this year, you'll also be able to participate in our green elections by voting online. More information on voting is to come.
Additional note?
More information about voting and the candidates is right around the corner. But right now is the time to make sure that you are a member of WBAI so you can vote in August.
Not a word was spoke between us. There was little risk in fire. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Turned around and she was standing there with silver bracelets on her wrist and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me gracefully, took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something has been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just to think it all began on an uneventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now the deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. But nothing really matters, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a bugle horn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I've seen newborn babies wailing like a morning dove. An old man with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand? Question man, is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. In a little hilltop village, I gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and they gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound across the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to where God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
The time was 1965, and a band called the Fugs met every afternoon to rehearse at the Peace Eye Bookstore, which was located in a former kosher butcher shop at 383 East 10th. Next door to Peace Eye, on the second floor, above the Lifschutz Wholesale Egg Market, lived a young songwriter named Thule Kupferberg. Thule worked every day composing songs on a reel-to-reel tape recorder. In The Rhapsody of Thule, we trace his work, shaping some of the startling and beautiful melodies that later graced the Fugs' repertoire. We begin The Rhapsody of Thule as he composes one of his most beautiful songs.
Morning, morning, feel so lonesome in the morning. Morning, morning, morning brings me grief.
Next, we find him shaping Matthew Arnold's wedding poem of 1852, the threnody known as Dover Beach.
Let us be true to one another, so various, so beautiful, so new. Let us be true to one another, hath really neither joy, nor love, nor light. Let us be true to one another, nor certitude, nor peace, nor help for pain. Let us be true to one another.
One of the Fugs' most popular songs became an anthem of its era, a sort of pre-postmodern 20th century sutra. Let's hear it for nothing.
Tune traditional Yiddish, Bulbas, words by Thule, new words. Are you ready? Monday, nothing. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday and Thursday, nothing. Friday for a change, a little more nothing. Saturday also nothing. Sunday, nothing. Monday, nothing. Tuesday and Wednesday, nothing. Thursday for a change, a little more nothing. Friday also nothing.
Thule astutely realized that if a song became associated with a dance craze, the frug, the twist, the monkey, the fish, or the mashed potato, then even a beatnik songcrafter could reap bundles of cash, mountains of moolah, plethora of Panenzi.
Let's bug, baby, let's bug, let's bug. Baby, let's bug, let's bug. Baby, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug. Baby, let's bug, let's bug. Baby, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug. Baby, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug, let's bug.
And here's yet another dance single Thule fashioned, this time cunningly focusing on the hypothalamus, the part of the brain associated with thrills, eros, and forbidden fun.
Hypothalamus, 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 that's the brain for me. Hypothalamus, 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 that's the brain for me.
Let's face it, even in the 1960s, Thule Kufferberg sensed the end of the Cold War and the rise of ethnic nationalism in the Balkans, as in the following.
I'd give everything for Herzegovina. It means everything to me. I'd give everything to Herzegovina. My blood, my prepuce, my liver and my lights. I'd give away my rights, my father and my son, the moonlight and the sun. I'd give everything for Herzegovina. It means everything to me. Oh, to die for Herzegovina would give new life to me.
One of the early members of the Fugs was a wild young poet named Szabo, who gave Thule the idea for a song from the Bible.
The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Da, 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 da. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass. Thou shalt not steal. Da, 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 da. Thou shalt honor thy father or thy mother.
What a prognosticator of taste and social trends he was, as Thule Kufferberg crooned into his Wallensack tape recorder up in his $40 a month pad on East 10th, predicting the rise, 20 years later, of the narcissistic, self-absorbed, workshop-crazed me generation.
Not us. Not us, us. Not we. But me, me, oh, me, me. Not them, them at all. But me, 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 me.
Thule, of course, broke new ground in popular music with his lusty lyrics, Several of the songs in this genre somehow never found their way onto Fugg's records. One in particular we located which tears into the core of the concept of the open marriage.
If you think I'm bad, watch out for my wife. She has more lovers than there's issues of life.
And the following ditty, which analyzed with enormous precision the macho qualities of the brother-sister bond.
Mister, I wanna fuck your sister. Mister, I wanna fuck your sister.
Morning. Sunshine and the sunshine lifts upon my face, and the glory of the growing puts me in my right place. Evening, feel so lonesome. On Bread Tray Mountain, darling, when the sun is down, I feel the petals falling, but not my love for you. There'll be chapels built of sunshine, darling, when our life is done. I hear the crickets dying, but not my love for you. When our hands get veiny with age, and under the oxygen tent I see the raven's cold stare, the manacles of misery bear us to the grave, but death will free us from this jail. We will meet on Bread Tray Mountain, darling, when the sun is down. I feel the petals falling, but not my love for you. We will be
chapel. Darling, when our life is done, I hear the crickets dying, but not my love for you.
Thank you. the spice smells begin to roam.
It's summer again, and I shall bring it round.
Sun is everything, to life lots in.
Nothing.
Monday, nothing. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday and Thursday, nothing. Friday for a change, a little more, nothing. Saturday.
That's about half the speed you've been doing it.
Well, but it's...
We are... It's
Saturday,
right?
But it's too slow.
Right.
And it'll take...
Dirt's like...
Oh, no.
We'll have cigarettes.
It's just starting to get faster. That's all.
Let's have a beat.
Monday, nothing. Tuesday, nothing.
Sunday, nothing. Monday, nothing. Tuesday and Wednesday, nothing. Thursday for a change, a little more, nothing. Friday, once more, nothing. A Monday, garnish. A ding stick, a garnish. Mid Vulcan garnish, stick, garnish. I take for an oven, a garnish, giggle, a job as right, a garnish. Lunes, nada, martes, nada, miércoles y jueves, nada. Vienes por cambio, un poco más, nada, sábado, otra vez, nada.
Nothing. New Yorker, nothing. Sang out in folkways, nothing. Harry Smith and Allen Ginsberg, nothing, nothing, nothing.
Poetry, nothing. Music, nothing. Painting and dancing, nothing. The world's great books, a great set of nothing. Body and body,
fucking nothing, sucking nothing, flesh and sex, nothing, church and Times Square, all a lot of nothing, 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 nothing,
Stevenson, nothing, a Humphrey, nothing, Averill, Harriman, nothing. Nothing, Engels, nothing, Bakunin, Kropotkin, nothing, Leonid, Trotsky, lots of nothing, Stalin, less than nothing,
nothing, nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing, 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 lots of it, nothing, 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 nothing,
not a goddamn thing.
This is a social protest song in a way. It's called History Will Puke in Johnson's Grave. In a universe full of throb thrills, throb thrills, sandlot baseball, the Cardinal Spellman Cancer Society proudly presents an evening of cobra puke. Cobra puke hanging out of the White House. Cobra puke hanging out of the ovaries of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is the sound of unadulterated cobra puke. Ah! 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 Ah!
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more tender. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May.
Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May. This is WBAI in New York City, and this is Radio Unnameable, and we have been joined in the control room by Jeffrey Lewis. And who are these other people with you, Jeffrey?
Well, is this mic on? This mic is on.
Yeah.
Is this mic on? That mic is on. This mic is on more than that mic. That's the guitar mic. Well, I have my old friend Spencer here, Spencer Chiquitas, who has played with me many times over the years on many different instruments. Spencer actually used to have a little home recording studio called Balloon Heaven, where I made a lot of my older recordings.
Balloon Heaven in the house.
And over there is Heather. I don't know if she has a mic.
Hello.
But she says hi.
Hi.
And over on my right is Katie.
I called... Katie, Heather, and Heather, Katie.
Quite all right.
It's confusing in here with all these people.
I don't think they can tell on radio.
Yeah. Just tell the radio audience that you had it right. So, I thought it would be really nice to play some of Tuli Kupferberg's songs. He's a great songwriter, and he, I saw him earlier today, and he certainly looks like hell, but he's still hanging in there. He has not been conscious for a little while, but he's 86, and he's given us, decades and decades worth of wonderful, wonderful words and music and tremendously wonderful thoughts and inspirational ideas. And I'm going to try to play some songs, and we can all just give him good vibes and, keep on living, trying to keep to the ideals that he was so good at reminding us of. And this is a song from what was called the Fugs Final CD Part 1, which is an excellent title because you could keep on putting out final CDs Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, etc. And some people may recognize the melody of this song, and Tuli was a big fan of taking other melodies and turning them into his own songs with his own wonderful words, and that's a long tradition that goes back to Joe Hill and Woody Guthrie and many earlier people. So this is Tuli's song, Try to Be Joyful. And if anybody wants to sing along backup vocals, it's pretty easy to pick up on, or clapping or hooting and hollering or any sort of banging around. And it's in C. And Spencer's playing the mandolin there. You can go at any time. You can go in any climb. You can go putting on your gloves. You can go while you're making love. So you must try, try and try, try and try. Try to be joyful. You can leave at 10 to 4. You can leave walking out the door. You can leave while you're sound asleep. You can leave here in the sparrow cheap. So you must try, try and try, try and try. Try to be joyful. And you can go if you're the king of Spain. And you can go homeless in the rain. You can go if you're elegant. You can go if you're an elephant. So you must try, try and try, try and try. Try to be joyful. You can leave when you're 105. That's years or days alive. You never know when you will depart. While you're painting or shopping at Kmart, still we must try, try and try, try and try. Try to be joyful. To have that last dance, so take that last dance. Might be your last chance, and you can go while you sing this song. Come on, sing along. Let's not leave before we sing this song. And try, try and try, try and try. Try to be joyful. Try and try, try and try. Try to be joyful. And this is a Tuli Kupferberg song, which I don't believe was released in any kind of recording, although there's some YouTube clips of him singing it. It's his rewritten version of the song Moscow Nights. And he wrote some fantastic words to it. I sang it on Radio Unnameable a few months back, and I had a message on my answering machine the next day from Thule complaining that I hadn't sung the melody correctly, and he re-sang it on my answering machine to correct me. So hopefully this time I'll nail it a little more to his specifications. I'm sure I won't get it quite right regardless.
You wouldn't have a copy of his answering machine on you, would you?
Oh, you should hear Jeffrey's answering machine. It's intimidating. It's really intimidating.
Oh, it hasn't stopped Bob Fast from leaving some great messages on my answering machine either. Well, you know, it's funny. My answering machine message, I say, among other things that I say this is you've reached Jeffrey and Geronimo's home, and my friend Geronimo hasn't shared that apartment with me for about 4 or 5 years, so but I didn't want to change that message. The message just came out great in one, you know, it was a one take recording and just nailed it. It was so I haven't wanted to record over it, even though it's been long obsolete.
But it's definitely a shout.
It's a shout. It's a song. It's a
very heartfelt.
It's a heartfelt answering machine message, and I've received many heartfelt messages in response. So this is Thule Kupferberg's song, "When I Was a Young Man," in A minor. It's going to be real hard to sing the melody on top of the way I have the chord change from the last time. How is it going to go? Oh, well, if I get a message from Thule on my answering machine complaining about the melody, it'll just make me happy. So, yeah. When I was a young man, a long time ago, through blue Moscow nights, deep in snow, we would talk and scheme, and then we'd walk and dream, our utopian hearts all aglow. Youthful dreams turn nightmares, but yet, all our love of freedom's beauty we will never forget. Under stars of evil and dreadful hate, our wondrous children still now defy their fate. Through the years of hopes and fears we have all seen many comrades disappear. How sad we have been. Different stars shall come, and different czars shall go. And darling, I still love you so. I was a young man a long time ago, through blue Moscow nights, deep in snow, we would talk and scheme, and then we'd walk and dream, our utopian hearts all aglow. Through the years of hopes and fears we all have seen old comrades disappear. How sad we have been. Different czars will come, but different czars will go. And darling, I still love you so. And if I may continue throwing this endless string of hits at the listening audience out there, in the wonderful songwriting spirit of Thule Kupferberg, here's one that people might be able to sing along on. I'm going to have to readjust these lyrics, because like I was saying earlier when Bob was playing the song Nothing, I've heard the recording of when Dylan was on Radio Unnameable in whatever year it must have been, 65 or something like that. And Bob Dylan himself sat, well, he didn't sit quite here, it was a different location, but he requested that Bob play the song Nothing, and here all these years later, Bob has filled the other Bob's request. So from one Bob to another, that was Nothing, regardless of interesting lyrical content. And here's another song with plenty of interesting lyrical content. I'll adjust it to make it radio friendly. This is Thule's great song Caca Raca, which anybody in New York City has probably experienced at some time or other. And the chorus goes, lots of uh-uhs or uh-huhs or whatever people want to throw in. Hand claps, yelling, hooting, and hollering. Come from a subway, down from a dance, looking for a toilet, gonna crap my pants, uh-huh. 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 Baby, uh-huh. Look in my pocket, looking for a coin. All I find is three pennies and a joint. Uh-huh. 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 Out of my skull, kicking the door. Don't got a dime, I'm gonna do it on the floor. Uh-huh. 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 Up comes a cop, big as a tent, says you don't get no crap for just 3 cents. Uh-huh. 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 If I had a nickel, if I had a dime, I'd put it in the toilet and I'd crap all the time. Uh-huh. 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 Baby, uh-huh. True, a true New York folk songwriter. True folk songs of New York City. Here's another brilliant Thule Kufferberg true folk song of New York City. I've been working for the landlord. I played in the key of D. I've been working for the landlord all my live long life. I've been working for the landlord, me, my kids, and the wife. Can't you hear the alarm clock ringing, calling so early in the morn? Can't you hear the bosses shouting in voices filled with scorn? Sucker, what a jerk. Sucker, won't you work? Work your whole damn life away. Oh, you stupid jerk. Don't you love to work? Making crap for very little pay. Oh, someone's in Congress with the landlord, and someone's getting screwed, I know. The landlord and the boss, screw the working class, from New York to San Diego. Saying, sucker, won't you work? Sucker, what a jerk. Work your whole damn life away. Don't you love your work? What a stupid jerk. Shoveling crap for very little pay. Working for the landlord, me, my kids, and the wife.
Speaking of shoveling crap for very little pay, or none at all. This is WBAI in New York City, and this is Radio Unnamable. My name's Bob Fass. That's Jeffrey Lewis over there.
And accompanied by Spencer Chiquitas, and we've got Heather and Katie hanging out here, and there's Unpaid Bill over there, and it's a full house of great people.
And we're being heard on CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia.
Wow,
and
that's
on
far
the
away.
World Wide Web at WBAI.org.
Have I told you my complaints about the name, the World Wide Web? I was thinking about how much human effort has been wasted the last couple of years saying WWW, when if they had picked any other letter in the alphabet, every other letter has one syllable, W, the only letter that's got not only two but three syllables. If only you could have just said TTT dot whatever website or BBB dot. No, it had to be WWW. That's a whole heap of completely unnecessary extra syllables we've been wasting our time saying all this time.
Nine
whole syllables where three would have sufficed.
Wait, wrong.
What an absolute waste. Well, moving along with this program of wonderful Tuli Kuferberg songs, of which I may or may not be mangling his melodies unrecognizably. This one is called Where Is My Wandering Jew, and it's another one of his recent ones. I mean, I've just been, you know, so astounded at the, you know, the more of his records and the Fugs records that I find, whether they're from the beginning of the career or the middle of the career or the later period of the career, there's just brilliant stuff on all of them, just, you know, constantly creative. And this is another relatively recent one, and it's called Where Is My Wandering Jew by Tuli Kuferberg. Come in the fall of the night. Where is my wandering Jew tonight? Where is my wandering Jew? Did Hitler survive in the heart of the beast? Is happiness there where we seek at least? Does the Baal Shem dance at the president's feast? Oh, where is my wandering Jew? Is loneliness cast at the center of life? Is peace our reward at the end of this strife? Is our time's music the gun and the fight? Oh, where is my wandering Jew tonight? Where is my wandering Jew? And where is my wandering God tonight? Where are my children? And where is my wife? Where is the song I once called my life? Where is my wandering Jew tonight? Where is our wandering life tonight? Oh, where is our wandering life tonight? Oh, where is our wonderful life? Thank you. Well, somebody really ought to do some sort of compilation of all of these wonderful writings. They're probably scattered throughout various legal situations of who knows what sort of publishing deals or record label situations over, 50 years of recording. So it makes it very hard to compile things onto one definitive collection. But that's good. It keeps you having to buy whole piles of things rather than one single thing. I'm a fan of piles of things. In fact, I've actually been moving apartments lately, which is something I always dislike doing, especially in heat waves. Every night I move a couple of boxes and then call it quits for the night. But so piles of things are something I've recently become quite reacquainted with, just how many piles of tapes and T-shirts and comic books and things like that I actually have. And you wouldn't think to hear me, but I'm in a radio studio full of evil. Well, I'm surrounded by all my silent friends, and all of you silent friends out there in radio land. And I'm going to continue playing the next selection. Let's see. I made myself a little list of good possibilities.
It's kind of hard to relate to all those piles of things.
Oh, I struck people dumb with the thought of how many piles of things I had to move from one apartment to another. Katie has become well acquainted with helping me lug these piles of things from one place to another.
I like those piles.
My own piles of things are in various apartments, throughout the city. Like, so it's like just the thought of piles of things is like has become a pile of things in itself.
Oh, Spencer's got some great recordings in his piles of things. Spencer's one of those guys, similar to Bob Fass, who. Contrasting with his recent silence, he's sitting right here. Bob Fass has piles of wonderful recordings of people's performances over many years and of this radio show. Spencer Chiquitas, over to my left on the mandolin, also has piles and piles of mysterious unlabeled recordings, which somebody's going to have to archive as soon as they get done archiving all of Bob Fass's recordings. Spencer's got all these live recordings from downtown Manhattan and all these studio recordings at his home studio, just piles and piles of tapes and different technological phases, CDs, DAT tapes, tape tapes. What treasures lurk in there?
Luckily, no mini discs.
Luckily, no mini discs. That's the one bright spot to the archivists of the future.
I nominate Steve Espinola for both of those jobs. He's a good cataloger.
He is a good cataloger. He's got the gear to do it. He's got the gear. My bed is getting crowded. They're rolling on the floor. Two or three women. And never come back no more. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you gotta go. Oh, oh, oh. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you gotta go. Literature is suffering, painting and sculpture too. How can I create new works of art when all I do is screw? I got no time for a dozen. Six of you gotta go. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you gotta go. The commies are gonna take Brooklyn. They're gonna take Nassau too. The commies all make good soldiers, cause they never take time off the screw. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you gotta go. I got no time for a dozen. Gotta go. I come home one morning, I really was appalled. Wife's lover in bed with another man that I didn't know at all. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you gotta go.
I got no time for a dozen. Sick of you, gotta go. I woke up one evening, I certainly was appalled. The only one I found in my bed was two of my former wives. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you, gotta go. I got no time for a dozen. Six of you, gotta go.
Tuli Kupferberg. Adding many, many songs to the Great American Songbook, the Great New York City Songbook, and the Great Lower East Side Songbook, the Great Songbook of Humanity. Wow, Bill is doing some sort of technological something or other out there. Well, let's see, what else is... Oh, that sounds like the sound of a telephone. Telephone making interesting sounds. Well, there's certainly no shortage of songs we could sing here. Here's a Tuli Kupferberg song from 1965. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. Sing cuckoo, say death is coming. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, death is coming. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, sing children, sing. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. You can't outthink the angel of death, sing cuckoo, sing. You can't outdrink the angel of death, sing cuckoo, sing. Death isn't coming. Sing cuckoo, sing. Death isn't coming. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. Sing, young girl, sing. Death isn't coming. Sing, young girl, sing. Death isn't coming. You can't outwalk the angel of death, but sing, young girl, sing. You can't outtalk the angel of death, but sing, young girl, sing. Death isn't coming. Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. Sing, soldier, sing. Death is coming. Sing, soldier, sing. Death is coming. You can't outfly the angel of death. Sing, cuckoo, sing. Carpe outcry diem, the angel carpe of death. Diem, carpe 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 diem. Sing, lover, sing. Death is coming. Sing, lover, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. You can't outsing the angel of death. Carpe diem, carpe diem. You can't outswing the angel of death, but sing, cuckoo, sing. death is coming in. Sing, cuckoo, sing. Death is coming in. Death is coming in. And it's an old cliche. It's an old cliche. But you'd better make your love today. Death is coming in. Carpe diem, 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 carpe diem.
Grab that moment. Seize it.
Here, give me those tweezers.
A little moment.
Where'd that little moment go? We tried to seize it.
I pinched it.
Spencer pinched it for a moment. That moment. He seized it for a moment.
And off, the it moment, off it slipped.
Off it slipped.
Slippery little bugger.
On our way here.
But wait, there's another one coming.
Oh.
On our way here, we saw what obviously must have been, somebody who just dissolved into.
There was a giant pile of ice on the street.
A pile of ice.
Pretty magical in this weather.
Yeah. It was very magical.
You never know what's going to happen.
Maybe it was somebody who erroneously wished, in the humid heat of the night, they wished to be a pile
to
of ice.
Off.
And little did they know that their wish would be granted. Yeah.
Wow.
They wished so hard to just transform into a pile of ice right on East 7th Street, and that was
vindictive, malicious, magical heat wave.
And that pile of ice looked
granting
happy.
Wishes.
It looked very cool and happy and relaxed. A giant pile of ice in the middle of East 7th
Street.
Not
for long. Not for long we'll be happy.
Well, it was happily drifting.
Melting
drifting,
away?
Yeah. I was tempted to roll around in that pile of ice. The only thing that stopped me rolling around in that pile of ice was I thought maybe it had been dumped out by some kind of fish truck,
yeah.
And it was recently, covered in, fish guts or something.
Well, if you'd seized that moment, you might be covered in fish guts right now.
Yeah, it would have been I would be cool, though.
You'd be cool, though. It'd be nice. Down. It'd be worth it.
We actually met someone who delivers those trucks.
Oh, really?
He actually showed us one of his arms was bigger than the other one.
Really? Stretched out?
Yeah, no, it was literally bigger.
Wow. Oh, like built up?
Yeah, because he explained it was like how he needed to pick up those crates of ice. And one of his arms was bigger than the other.
Seems like a good job for this kind of weather. It's a good job to have.
If you got to pick up crates of something, it might as well be crates of ice.
Didn't help his dart playing, I'll tell you that.
or his rowboating, I'll bet. I'll bet he goes in circles every time.
Yeah, he goes in circles
every
time.
He could only rowboat with lefty fish truck drivers.
Yeah.
The fish truck he loads.
Yeah, always.
I don't think it was
something
that
or other implodes. We did that guy. Yeah, that guy that we saw was loading that truck, exploded into ice.
What a life!
What a life!
What's next on the agenda?
Oh well, I don't know. Does anybody here have an? Is there an agenda? I don't know if
so it's like that now.
All right. Well,
I don't know. I think Spencer has an agenda.
I'm just happy to be here with Bob Foss.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are all happy to be here.
Thank you for having us on.
Oh, my and last I checked, Thule was still here as well. He's actually in a hospital not very far from this very building. And a few days ago, it seemed like it was possibly really goodbye. And Somehow it wasn't. He stabilized and he's doing better than he was a couple of days ago. What that means, we don't know, but we know that it's been a couple more days. So I'm sure there's a number of people in this world who are not here now that were here a couple of days ago. So what can we say? What we can do is keep on celebrating and keep on enjoying our lives, and our lives have been ever so much more enjoyable with Thule Kupferberg as part of them.
It's been nice because he's touched so many people, and so many people love him so dearly that he's really stuck it out, and a lot of those people have been able to come and say hello to him again.
Yeah, I mean, how many artists stick it out for that long? I mean, even Bob Fass has a number of years to go to catch up with Thule.
That's right. And, I didn't survive a jump off the Brooklyn Bridge.
It was the Manhattan Bridge.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. It
was a tugboat picked him up? What was it?
The rumors, the legends.
They abound, I guess.
And Thule never liked to talk about it. I did the comic book biography of Thule, and it was for a comic book graphic novel collection called The Beats that came out a couple years ago, and they had different comic book artists doing comic book biographies of various beat poets, and I was very happy to be assigned to do the Thule Kupferberg chapter. And in gathering together the story of his life for this comic book, it seemed like that story of his leap from the Manhattan Bridge and his miraculous survival of that, and the fact that that was included in, Ginsberg mentioned that in Howl, which is the canonical tome of beat poetry's beat poetry. And you'd think that for a book about the Beats, that story would have been a shoo-in, and Thule would probably be upset to hear me talking about it on the air, so I won't even go any further into it except to say that his reasons for not including it are the most humane reasons one can possibly imagine. He did not want it to be a focused on part of his life story, that he had this fall from the Manhattan Bridge and survived, because he didn't want anybody else to try it. He just didn't want anybody else to even conceive of taking that risk, thinking that it might be all right to do. And that's a very kind and humanitarian reason for keeping suppressed a story that many people would be interested to hear. But he's like that. There's a lot that he's got interesting reasons for what he gives and what he holds back, and he sticks to them.
Yeah, for someone who expresses so much with such abandon, it seems, he really does give so much thought to everything he says and everything he does. Really considers in a kind way everyone who might hear it.
Yeah. You know, that's why I'm looking at the list of songs, and there's just so many good ones and interesting different styles, you know. They're kind of all over the map, from completely outrageous and funny to, you know, very touching. Just great. And he did so much more than just write songs. I mean, he was, and is, he's still been, you know, the last bunch of months, he's been compiling his, what he calls, perverbs, for a, perhaps a new 1001 book. Some people may remember Thule's many 1001 books. He put out 1001 Ways to Make Love, and
that wasn't the title.
Well, there was 1001 Ways to Beat the Draft. That was a very popular one. And there's perhaps someday going to be released his 1001 Perverbs. or maybe even more than 1,001. I know he was compiling quite a huge amount of them.
Many are out on YouTube now.
Yes, oh, yeah. And in fact, these proverbs are a perfect little YouTube, just bite-sized yeah. daily nuggets of, you know, daily inspiration. And, you know, YouTube has just been an amazing, like, new medium for little...
What a boon.
You know, little bite-sized snippets of interesting stuff.
Jeff, you get into the Professor Brothers?
The Professor Brothers? No, who are the Professor Brothers?
Oh, man, they're these animation artists. They're really funny, though. I was just wondering if you've seen any of their videos.
No, it's animation stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's about these, like, professors, you know, who are brothers, apparently.
Or so they claim.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, another thing that I'm realizing as I'm going over this list of songs is that it gets harder and harder for me to figure out which ones I can safely sing and which ones I'm going to back myself into a corner. Any calls coming in? Who's out there on this evening? And we're not going to hang out here super long because we can't make an all-nighter out of it because we've been up since very early this morning and we got another early morning ahead of us. And we have a tearful Bob Fass over here, but he seems to have a whole Fugs box set on hand there to keep him company. What have you got there?
Problem you had? I can't play everything on the Fugs box set.
Drastically curtailed.
Drastically curtailed. Well, I definitely can't do that one.
Oh, no.
No. Well, Tilly would probably want you to do some of your songs, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, here's here's a relatively recent Jeffrey Lewis song. If I could get Spencer to play some mandolin, he's been playing mandolin with me lately on some of these.
Well, we're about to be joined by WJFF in Jeffersonville, Grahamsville, and Liberty, New York.
WJFF, that's my radio
show. Oh. Really?
That's right. It's in Jeffersonville, and I'm sure you know that it operates by a water wheel. The electricity that's generated to run the station is generated by a water wheel called Lord Buckley.
Far out.
As in the spinning wheel.
Oh, we should play water then.
Yeah.
Let's play water.
It's a good segue.
I've done that one on this show before. I want to try out the Krongu Green Slime song.
Okay.
And the water wheel was composed entirely of chicks, carefully woven together. There's some great audience members in some of those recordings that just
really notable laughs.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah.
LAFF.
All right, here is a relatively recent Jeffrey Lewis song, Spencer on mandolin. Krongu Green Slime in the key of G, of course. In the land before time. Oh, wait, no. I didn't even remember the first word. That doesn't bode well for a long, wordy song. In the land before. No. It's the first word that I'm getting wrong. Before the land before time. There was a time before land, when the world was just slime, and Krongu was the brand. Yes, Krongu green sludge was the popular item. There might have been better sludges, but no one ever tried them.
bought and sold by the platter, green slime by Franku. It was the most popular matter, it was the most popular hue. It was from sea to sea, yeah, was from dawn to dark, yeah. Had thoroughly cornered all of the market on all sides as a rule, and from bottom to top there was mostly green gruel with occasional green slop. All other colors were in absentia back in BC 10 zillion. There was no puce or magenta, or chartreuse or cerulean, no red, yellow, or blue. Well, to put it properly, there was green slime by Cromgu. It was a total monopoly. So if you'd had your stock in Narrow for a while, it would have skyrocketed. It would have been mucho dinero. You would have stood to have pocketed. But if you missed out on that shit, then you have my sympathies, kid. 'Cause Krongu's value dipped as those slimy seas did. And lamb started to pop up in drips and drabs at a time. And creatures started to hop up from the oceans of slime. Krongu's grip started slipping with this slew of innovations. And there was now competition from some new corporations. And there were so many styles, and it all seemed so nice. These millions of aisles of wife's merchandise, some tiny, some giant, some could chirp, some could buzz, rebellious or compliant, with scales, feathers, or fuzz. Some were stupid as turnips, some were lowly as coral. Some had high-minded concepts, dreams and ideals and morals. Some were fanged, some were toothless. Some were sweet, some were salty. They were popular but useless. Yeah, they were pretty but faulty. Yes, I guess I got fleeced. I got baited and hooked by each dream and each beast. That didn't work as good as they looked, 'cause they crapped out and broke. Built to last, forget it. Get a refund, that's a joke. You can't even exchange for store credit. Where's the Consumer Protection Bureau? I wanna report a crime. Each creature breaks with no cure. They're dumped back in the slime. Someone do some muckraking, an expose, a news tip-off. This whole story is a heartbreaking, fraudulent rip-off. Forget friends, family, dreams, hearts, trees, birds, dogs, snakes. Forget you, forget me. It's all cheap stuff that breaks. And in land after time, and time after land, they'll probably just roll out the slime in the most time-trusted brand. When push comes to shove, it'll be Krongu. No dismissals, no disbarment. No more tears, no more love, no more crew. of us disposable varmints before the land, before time. There was a time before land when the world was just slime and Krongu was the brand. Yes, Krongu green sludge was the popular item. There might have been better sludges, but no one ever tried them. We should do one more. Oh, well, let's see. What can we do here that... Well, see, I thought if I played that Krongu Green Slime, which is a very long song, that would, you know, be... That would take up some good listening time. In fact, it goes against my policy of leaving the audience wanting more instead of leaving them wanting less. I'm in danger of leaving the audience wanting less if I go on too long. But let's consult the list of songs here.
I don't think that's likely.
I don't think
the audience is going to want less. I think...
Oh, we could do a whistle thing. Here's one that Bob Fass made me think of being in his presence, because Bob has a story about Moondog, and
I just got turned on the other last week.
Yeah. My drummer Dave is way into Moondog's recordings.
It's so beautiful, that music. Really, really awesome.
Certainly is. Of course, I have a different story about Moondog. Don't know whether I should tell
it. Let's hear it.
Well, I had been working in Flushing in a paper cup factory. And I would come home at really, like, odd hours in the morning. And I would take the Avenue B bus to my little pad on Fifth Street, and that would be the end of my day. And I had seen Moondog for years and years in the streets, dressed as a kind of a Viking, wrapped in a blanket with fur and horns coming out of his head and a kind of a helmet, playing these wonderful songs. And I had even heard some of his recordings. Be a hobo and go with me from Hoboken down to this, and all those wonderful, wonderful things that he did, the rhythms and the beats. And I really thought he was an astonishing character. And he got on the bus that I was on. There were a couple of other people on the bus, and of course they took note of his odd costume, and they kind of giggled, and I thought to myself, well, he may be dressed odd, but you really are no awareness of what a genius this fellow is. And I watched him, and he got up to get off the bus a stop before my stop. And he got up, and he walked into, I don't know, one of those posts, the verticals that they have in the bus. He walked right into it. And the bus driver said to him, are you all right? You need some help? And he said, no, no, I'm all right. I'm all right. And he got off the bus, and he walked into a telephone pole. He was blind, of course, you know. So I got off the bus, and I said, you know, I live near here, but I'll be happy to walk you home and help you to get there. And he said, no, 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 I'm all right, I'm all right. And I said, no, really, I think maybe you could use a little assistance. He said, don't try anything. And I thought, oh, you don't have anything to worry about with me. I know who you are, and I respect you. He said, you do? I said, yeah. And he walked down the block, and he said, is this 35? And I said, yeah, it is. He said, well, this is my place. He said, I have to go upstairs. You want to wait here? I have to go upstairs to the fifth floor. I have something to give you. I thought, gee, wow, okay. And I waited.
Gift from Moondog.
Waited. Yeah. He went up the stairs and came back down, and he gave me a little pamphlet with uncut pages, you know? Like it had been put together, sewn together, and I could see that there were verses inside it. I thought, whoa. And this is from the hand of Moondog himself. Whoa. So I took it. I thanked him for it profusely, and I took it back to my pad, and I looked at it. I ripped the pages very carefully so that I wouldn't lose a word. And there were verses in it like, you may think you're real smart niggers, but we white folks, we have triggers. I thought, this guy, what is this moon? Is this a character that he's creating, or is this? And that there were anti-Semitic verses, and there were all kinds of hateful, and this was called Moondog's Millenniad.
Wow.
I was big time disillusioned. So that's my story about Moondog. It's still, you know, I think his music is pretty extraordinary, but
wow, what a story.
He was, yeah. Jeez. He was no Tule Cooperbird.
No. No, certainly not.
But
Who is?
I was asked to record a Moondog song for a Moondog tribute album, and I was going to do my cover version of a Moondog song called Sandalwood, which is only a sort of melody. It's an instrumental song. And Tule Cooperberg, as I mentioned before, is a big proponent of writing new words to existing melodies, and using that inspiration, I decided I would write words to this Moondog melody, the melody of the Moondog called Sandalwood. So this is my cover version of Sandalwood, the Moondog instrumental, as a word recital instead, but using Moondog's melody. And if everybody sort of... Moondog often has a sort of clock-type beat to a lot of things. If everybody can sort of help me with that sort of ticking, snapping beat, and maybe some mandolin sounds, or even mandolin notes or whatever. I have no idea what key I'm going to sing this in, but... Sandalwood, oh, would you? Sandalwood, oh, could you? Sandalwood, oh, should you be a melody full stop? Two sandals you now show 'em, like dice you shake and throw 'em. One's music, one's a poem, and the words now land on top. A figure sets out hiking, with the lightning striking. It's Moondog, a blind Viking, silhouetted on the wall. Moondog hated faces that came from other places. Yes, he was a racist, though he couldn't see at all. Sandalwood, oh, would you? Sandalwood, oh, could you? Sandalwood, oh, should you be a melody full stop? Two sandals you now show 'em, like dice you shake and throw 'em. One's music, one's a poem, and the words now land on top. Moondogs had no lyrics, only atmospherics, and every time you hear it's like a new twist of the page. From a dusty folder to an incense holder, set sandalwood to smolder till the clouds walk from the stage. A figure sets out hiking, with the lightning striking, it's Moondog the blind Viking silhouetted on the wall. Moondog hated faces that came from other places. Yes, he was a racist, though he couldn't see at all. With his music clicking, like a strange clock ticking, what a freaking weird example of the city sights. Sandalwood's the title of this short recital. It swells up like a tidal wave, then fades into the night. And it makes me think of racing to the brink of something, then you shrink back from the edge and turn around. Or a pair of sandals walking through wood and brambles, carrying a candle to some dark medieval town. Two sandals you now show 'em, like dice you shake and throw 'em. One's music, one's a poem, and the words now land on top. Sandalwood, oh, would you? Sandalwood, oh, could you? Sandalwood, oh, should you be a melody full stop?
Really beautiful.
That was great.
Beautiful, Jeffrey.
Well, thanks very much for inviting us on the show once again. It's always a pleasure to be on Radio Unnameable with the great Bob Fass and the great unpaid Bill. And we send out all of our love and good vibes and well wishes to Tule Kupferberg and his family and his friends. And if everybody just, you know, I'm not a religious person myself, and Tule himself famously said that he thought the best Jews were atheists, and he considered himself a militant agnostic. So I won't say put your prayers together for him. He probably wouldn't have been so into that. But if you're into that, do that. But well wishes and good thoughts and a celebratory approach to life with your feet firmly rooted in the need for humanitarianism, idealism,
healing energy
for the world, and stirring up trouble to reach those ends, not just relaxing and thinking about doing good and being good, but getting out there and causing trouble for the sake of making things a better place. And Tule certainly caused his share of trouble and continues to do so, and we're all inspired.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I can't see you anymore. Walk me down to school, baby. Everybody's acting different in the line. Until they turn and say, why don't you stick to your own kind? My teachers on life dance.
So you're going to be appearing someplace on Sunday?
Yeah, that's right. My band Deep Sound Diver, we play full-blown acid rock.
One of my favorite bands. It's just a delight to watch. Spencer's an amazing guitar player. And, they're awesome. I love Deep Sound Diver.
We're playing Sunday at the Sidewalk Cafe, 6th Avenue. That's it. 10 o'clock Sunday. So thanks for having us, Bob.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I love those neat little tricks you do on that model.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
How do you like it so far?
This last week was like a total breakdown.
I wouldn't be seen dead with a living work of art.
Nowadays, a fact is what has been translated into words of images. Those qualities, these forms to combine facts abstractly upon opinion, public face is wit.
Drop this jiggery pokery and talk straight turkey. The word is out.
What's that saying?
I'm not too often concerned about this. It's just a phase.
How about that?
There'll probably be some music, but we'll manage to find a quiet corner where we can talk.
Professor McLuhan is...
Our time is a time for crossing barriers, for erasing old categories, for probing around. When two seemingly disparate elements are imaginatively posed, put in apposition in new and unique ways, startling discoveries often result.
One, two, three, four.
medium of our time,
electric circuitry,
profoundly involves men with one another. Information pours information, as soon as information is required, very rapidly replaced by still new information. Our electrically configured world has forced us to move from the habit of date classification. No longer build pattern recognition block by block. We can no longer build series block by block. Because instant communication ensures that all factors of the environment and of experience coexist in a state of active interest. Active interest.
There ain't no grammatical errors in a non-literate society.
All media work us over completely. They are so pervasive in their
personal,
political,
economic,
aesthetic,
psychological,
moral,
ethical,
and social consequences that they leave no part of us untouched, unaffected, unaltered. The medium is the massage.
The medium is the massage.
Any understanding of social and cultural change is impossible without a knowledge of the way media work as environments.
Everything we do is music.
Expect McLuhan will be doing once he's there next year or later this year.
We have, there's a friend of mine at Fordham who's on the faculty, and he's writing a booklet called What to Do Until McLuhan Comes.
Yeah.
We can't.
The French make a distinction.
I believe it. I really believe it.
For another program.
It's kind of incredible and things like that. Because he's a very unlikely.
Until writing was invented, man lived in acoustic space, boundless, directionless, horizonless, in the dark of the mind, in the world of emotion, by primordial intuition, by terror. Speech is a social chart of this bog.
The wrath of Achilles is my theme. That fatal wrath, which in fulfillment of the will of Zeus, brought the Achaeans so much suffering, and sent gallant souls of many noblemen to Hades, leaving their bodies as carrion for the dogs and passing birds. Let us begin, goddess of song, with the angry parting that took place between Agamemnon, king of men, and the great Achilles, son of Peleus.
Which of the gods was it that made them quarrel?
The discovery of the alphabet will create forgetfulness in the learned souls, because they will not use their memory.
We don't know who discovered water, but we're pretty sure it wasn't the fish.
I believe it. I really believe it.
The goose quill put an end to talk. It abolished mystery. It gave architecture and towns. It brought roads and armies, bureaucracy. It was the basic metaphor with which the cycle of civilization began. The step from the dark into the light of the mind. The hand that filled the parchment page built a city.
We shape our tools, and thereafter our tools epos.
Whence did the wondrous mystic art arise? A painting speech, and speaking to the eye, that we, by tracing magic lines, are taught how to embody and to color thought.
Writing did not merely record language. It was a totally new medium of expression and communication which the spoken word came in turn to imitate. Writing encouraged an analytical mode of thinking with emphasis upon lineality.
Once more, please.
The trouble is, I keep thinking of improvements on these passages all the time, with emphasis upon lineality, continuity, and connectedness.
Continuity will continue in just a moment, but I want to say that you're tuned to WBAI in New York, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and WJFF in Jeffersonville. And we're streaming on the web at www.wbai.org. This is Radio Unnameable. Could you continue?
In other words, visuality.
Where is A? It precedes B. And B follows A and precedes C.
Writing was an embalming process that froze language. It eliminated the art of ambiguity and made puns the lowest form of wit.
Should all the quietness be forgot?
The expert is the man who stays put.
Soon all that will be required of us will be 1 hour's work a year.
Writing destroyed word linkages.
Might
the
be a word.
Simultaneous butter relation between many levels of meaning of words have to be sacrificed to keeping everything moving on a single plane on one level. The word became the static symbol, applicable to and separate from that which is symbolized. It now belonged to the objective world. It could be seen. It was a thing. Now came the distinction between being and meaning.
Baby, this thing is bigger than all of us.
Often we don't know what we think until a question is put to us.
Says that all he's doing is describing, not...
John? John who?
Doesn't make very many value judgments or suggestions about what people should do about these things.
Show me something.
For instance,
new.
Marshall himself says that
again.
All he's doing is describing, not prescribing.
Every new technology creates a new environment in which men live and work. The technology of the alphabet and of movable type. Printing. Predisposed us to think and act in certain ways. Printing extended the emphasis upon lineality. It fostered and encouraged a fragmenting process. A process of specialism and of detachment, a habit of thinking in bits and parts, and step by step. Printing completely changed everything. It changed what men thought of themselves, how they behaved toward each other. It changed systems of government, and so on, and so on, and so on.
And so on, and so on, and so on.
You know, the most favorable moment to seize a man and influence him is when he's alone in the mass.
Printing technology confirmed and extended the new visual stress. It provided the first uniformly repeatable commodity, the first assembly line, mass production. It created the portable book, which men could read in privacy and in isolation from others. Man could now inspire and conspire. It was the print-oriented genius of the Western world that created an applied knowledge and technology unrivaled in human history, and learned to manipulate matter, energy, and human life by breaking down every useful process into its functional parts, then producing any required number of each part.
You're feeling like you was lost in the bush, boy?
Just as pre-shaped parts became components of, say, an airplane, human specialists became components of a great social machine.
Compartmentalization of occupations.
What for, sir?
Compartmentalization of occupations and interests bring about. Compartmentalization of occupations and interests. Bring about a separation of that mode of activity.
Okay, clocking it at $40,000 a year. Coming up to Marshall with a copy of the book in their hand, asking for an autograph with absolutely the same degree of abandon and awe that they would do to Willie Mays.
The Balinese have a saying: we have no art. We do everything as well as we can. As we move into the world of integral, computerized knowledge...
Blood your rights!
lovely rhinoceros mating grounds were 1963.
Mere classification becomes secondary and inadequate.
Each of these diseases then the time own place in which it must be fine.
Mere classification becomes secondary and inadequate to the speed with which data can now be processed. We are moving out of the world of data classification into the world of pattern recognition.
The highest purpose is to have no purpose at all. This puts one in accord with nature and her manner of operation.
Why did the Morn take a ladder to church?
Like easel painting, the printed book added much to the cult of the individual. The private fixed point of view became possible. Literacy conferred the power of detachment, of non-involvement. There's a story which illustrates the kind of pun that is not customary in literary society.
David Ogilvy, the advertiser.
Story of the Boy Scout who helped a nun across the street.
Tends to begin all his memos with...
And the nun thanked the lad, who replied, "That's all right, madam. Any relative of Batman's a friend of mine." The visual pattern of the sculptured costume, starched costume of the nun, bears a certain structural relation to Batman's costume, so that the strange bridge between the nun and Batman is a bit of pattern recognition or visual punning. Visual punning, as opposed to mere verbal punning, is something that is beginning to happen again in our electronic time, and it is one of the pet activities of Eskimos. They delight in spotting visual puns in the ordinary environment in various materials.
Such as?
Stone. They delight to see a configuration in a stone that resembles a walrus tusk or a...
Do you like your job, Professor McLuhan?
America was able to develop and apply swiftly all the consequences of printing. In the book, the newspaper, and by extension the assembly line in industry and organization and markets, because there was no backlog of obsolete technology to be liquidated first. Europeans had to struggle through a long, painful period in order to clear enough room to exploit the new print technology.
Quanto è bella la prospettiva.
Okay, now once more with more expression, Irving.
Quanto è bella la prospettiva.
Now hold it. That's part of the script.
Our Renaissance legacy was the vanishing point, the single static viewpoint of the limited optical science of the time. This single piercing view demanded a central point of interest and an undisturbed, restful symmetry to either side of it.
This is the place to see it from, Phyllis.
Good.
The eye, it cannot choose but see. We cannot bid the ear be still. Our bodies feel where'er they be, against or with our will.
Those who write the anatomy of experience...
The alphabet is an aggressive and militant absorber and transformer of culture.
The decisions in here...
The alphabet is an aggressive and militant absorber and transformer of culture. The alphabet is an aggressive and militant absorber and transformer of cultures.
I've never been here before.
Now for the evidence, said the king, and then the sentence. None, said the queen, first the sentence and then the evidence. Nonsense, cried Alice so loudly that everybody jumped. The idea of having the sentence first.
The alphabet is a construct of fragmented bits and parts which have no semantic meaning in themselves. Must be strung together in a line, bead-like, and in a prescribed order. Its use fostered and encouraged the habit of perceiving all environment in visual and spatial terms, particularly in terms of a space and of a time that are uniform cut into ones and compare. The line, that good old reliable continuum, became the organizing principle of life.
Advanced systems of
the so-called typesetting really get going, then I think that it would be very, very simple to, and inexpensive and quite reasonable to simply record conversation.
Yeah. We habitually say, I don't follow you.
Chopping and groping. Yeah.
The new principle, how does that grab you, is a more involved, multi-sensuous approach to the problem of
music. As we begin, so shall we go.
Rationality and logic came to depend on the presentation of connected and sequential facts or concepts. For many people, rationality still has the connotation of uniformity and connectedness. I don't follow you means I don't think what you're saying is rational. How does that grab you?
I still don't follow you.
Indeed, even our test for sanity often assumed that the line is present in nature and must be discovered or given visual existence.
Typography cracked, the voices of silence.
Take it easy, but take it.
What has been worked over to give it a general character very, very few people can experience directly.
We are proud of our museums, where we display a way of living that we have made impossible.
The railway radically altered the personal outlooks and patterns of social interdependence. It bred and nurtured the American dream. It created totally new urban, social, and family worlds, new ways of work, new ways of management, new legislation.
Conkadook, he'll do.
As the new electric technologies come into play, people are less and less convinced of the importance of self-expression. Teamwork succeeds private effort. Ours is the first age in which many thousands of the best trained minds have made it a full-time business to get inside the collective public mind. To get inside in order to manipulate, exploit, control.
The art of the speaker consists in compressing all of his aims into slogans.
We shape our tools, and thereafter our tools shape us.
What'll happen when intelligence is recognized as a global resource?
What will happen? Anybody have any ideas? When intelligence is a global resource. Indeed. Is that in short supply? I don't know. Judging by some standards, it might be. Anyway, that was an audio version of The Medium is the Massage by none other than Marshall McLuhan. How you doing? Bob, I remember seeing a video with Marshall McLuhan. It might have been on educational TV, but I don't remember when or where, but it might have been there. And in the middle of it, I remember they were doing some version, some twisted out version of Winchester Cathedral, and I think it was McLuhan. Do you remember anything like that? Maybe somebody does. I think McLuhan was the narrator. And they were phase shifting it and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. No? Oh, well. Oh, well.
The suspense is killing me, Bill. What are you going to do?
Well, this is a new album.
Jessie
There's a hole in the bed where we slept. Now it's growing cold. Hey, Jesse, your face in the place where we lay by the hearth, all apart. It hangs on my heart, and I'm leaving the light on the stairs. No, I'm not scared. I wait for you. Hey, Jesse, I'm lonely from home. Jesse, the floors and the boards, recalling your steps. And I remember too, all the pictures are fading and shaded in gray, but I still set a place on the table at noon, and I'm leaving light on the stairs. No, I'm not scared. I wait for you. Hey, Jesse, I'm lonely.
Got a job with rural electrification in the Navajo Indian Reservation. Running electric power lines into all the Navajo outhouses. I was one of the first people to wire ahead for a reservation. Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life. Worst job I ever had in my life was working was it the Santa Fe? Yeah, it was the Santa Fe Railroad, south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies, out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days. Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandhi Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up of the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandhi dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Well, they don't do Gandhi dancing the normal way anymore, see, like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car. You sleep in it. Got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. Rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see? Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie and pheasant sweat. Otter water comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the cook. That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheatgrass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd. That was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, self, I'm going to bake up a big moose turd pie. Because if anybody complains about my cooking, they're going to have to cook. So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. Boom, boom. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork, and he let out a beller, and he yelled, "My God, that's moose turd pie!" It's good, though.
Let me sing to you all the old songs I know of wild, windy places locked in timeless snow and white, crimson deserts where the muddy rivers flow. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. Come along with me to some places that I've been, where people all look back and still remember when, and the quicksilver legends like sunlight turn and blend. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. We'll walk along some wagon roads or down the iron rail, past lines of rusty Cadillacs that mark the boomtown trail, where dreamers never win and doers never fail. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. I could tell you all some lies that were just made up for fun, where the loudest, meanest bragging could beat the fastest gun. And I'll show you nameless graves that tell the way the West was won. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. I'll sing of my amigos who come from down below and whisper in their loving tongue the songs of Mexico. They worked their stolen Eden lost so long ago. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. I'll sing about an emptiness the East has never known, where coyotes don't pay taxes and a man can be alone and yet have to walk forever just to find a telephone. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. Let me sing to you all the old songs I know of wild, windy places, locked in timeless snow, and wide crimson deserts where the muddy rivers flow. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. A long-haired preacher's come out every night. I try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. He will eat by and by in that glorious land in the sky. Way up high, work and pray, live on hay. You get by in the sky when you die. That's the lie the starvation army they play. And they shout and they clap and they pray. When they got all your coins on the drum, they will tell you when you're on the bum. You will eat by and by in that glorious land in the sky. Way up high, work and pray, live on hay. You get by in the sky when you die. That's the lie. Holy rollers and jumpers come out, and they roll and they jump and they shout. Give your money to Jesus, they say, and you lead on that glorious day. You will by in that glorious land in the sky, way up high, work and pray, live on hay. You get by in the sky when you die. That's right, working folks of all countries unite. Side by side, we for freedom will fight. When this world and its wealth we have gained, to the characters we'll sing this refrain. I was there when they opened the boxcar and found him stone dead on the floor. Though thumbing and bumming was all of our trade, no one had seen him before. He wore the face of a stranger, lost and unseen in a crowd. He looked so small as we carried him down, wrapped in a newspaper shroud. The wind blows cold in Wyoming, the stars shine clear and bright. If you don't wake up tomorrow at all, I guess it's old buddy goodnight. His hair was the color of winter, all streaked with iron and coal. And all you could see in his soft prairie eyes was the wind and the grass and the snow. The backs of his hands were like road maps. The lines on his face were the same. And on his left arm, a faded tattoo bordered a rose and a name. The wind blows cold in Wyoming, the stars shine clear and bright. If you don't wake up tomorrow at all, I guess it's old buddy goodnight. I don't know where he came from. His train was a UP freight. If there's someone waiting for him down below, he'll be a little bit late. So give him a line in your paper, and here's what I want you to say. There's some things worse than dying alone. One of 'em's living that way.
The wind blows cold in Wyoming. The stars shine clear and bright. If you don't wake up tomorrow at all, I guess it's old buddy goodnight. Is holding the aces. The rest of the cards are all missing faces. I'm sorry I can't know you today. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us your sons and give us your daughters. No one is safe or immune from the slaughter. How indifference makes them rage. What can one say? I will not obey. National Guard or freedom fighters. All houses belong to cigarette lighters. But who hides in the smoke? What can one say? I will not obey. Better perhaps to perish outside of the bunkers where our generals hide. I turn away and spit. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us the minds of your children to learn the substance of books we have not yet burned. But can they read the sky for rain? What can one say? I will not obey. Soon all tyrants will feel our impatience. We choose to create our own combinations. I was always willing to agree. What can one say? I will not obey. The essence of contract is agreement, not coercion or obedience. And agreement is sacred. What can one say? I will not obey. There are so few wars of people's liberation, for the people have so seldom risen. Only the armed faction. Listen, the armed faction lies. They recreate the state through their action. When the people rise, it is not they, but the state which dies. I sing this song for the prisoners' release, most of all now for the new state police. You see, the guns have changed hands. Again, what can one say? I will not obey.
Take their final. greatest drunk that I ever saw in my life. I saw one afternoon in New Orleans, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. And he was drinking, and he had his wife along with him, and a funny hat on his head. He was playing dice, poker dice at the bar, sort of a game where if he won, he got a free beer, and if he lost, he paid double for his next beer. He'd walk over to the jukebox, he'd put some coins in it, he'd come back to the bar, he'd shout all around to the people in the bar, "I just put 15 cents in the jukebox. Anybody wants to hear anything, just go on up and punch any number you want. Go ahead and play it. If you're from Texas, you can say it's on me." Money and argue with his wife. Go back and put some more money in and come back and say, "I just put 40 cents in the jukebox, and anybody wants to hear anything, just go right on out, play whatever you want. It's on me." Come back to the bar and he said, "Man that is born of a woman, he's of few days, and he's full of trouble. And when he dies, he departs this earth, and he goes to New Orleans. I just put 80 cents in the jukebox, and anybody wants to hear anything, just go up and play it. Anything you want is on." Come back to the bar and he'd say, "I might be too old to cut the mustard, but I ain't too old to lick the jar. I just put half dollar in the jukebox and I'm going broke. Anybody wants to hear anything, just go right on up and play whatever you want. If you're from Texas, play the Yellow Rose of Texas." More money for the jukebox.
be right.
Train be late, my baby's coming in at 8:30. When that Southern Cross the low, can't wait to hear that whistle blow. Right on time, right on time. Long's I got my mama trying to keep me right on time. Ask my baby what's the time. I left that house 9:15. Got home, held on my knee, looked at the clock, it was 3:15. Right on time, right on time. Long's I got my armor trying to keep me right on time. I looked down the railroad track, the little bitty hand was waving back. I got home, it was 4:15, she's barefoot waiting by the door. Right on time, right on time. Long's I got my armor trying to keep me right on time. About it out in the street, I got a woman that's really sweet. She gave me a wristwatch, I put it on. She said, now you got you an Armatron. Right on time, right on time. Long's I got my Armatron, it keep me right on time. I turned the watch over, I looked on back. He said, Daddy, I love you, please hurry back. You can keep your diamonds, keep your gold. I'll keep this watch until I'm old. Right on time, right on time.
out on time. As long as I got this Armatron, it keep me right on time. Right on time, right on time. As long as I got my Armatron, it keep me right on time.
Some people don't know what the blues is, but the blues is the blues. And the blues don't know nobody no way.
You mean the blues don't love nobody?
They don't love nobody
either. I witnessed that.
That's the truth.
But they help. They help.
The blues will help anybody if you listen to them. but they really don't like nobody. So a lot of people hate the blues. But you can't hate the blues, nobody will hate you. That's true. That is true. The blues were born all by itself. The blues were born on the... I said...
On the hate.
Just like gravity. It was born on the hate. You're right. The blues just come up from...
Well, I don't hate the blues. I love them.
I love the blues also, but... When you got the blues,
I like to tell people my troubles.
That's right.
You know, and let everybody know
that
I feel in my heart that I need help.
Well, the blues help.
And the blues will help me.
The blues sure help you. Believe me when I say it. Blues born way back in the country years ago, I guess before all our time. And another thing, the blues will never die. The blues will never die. It'll be here.
I'd like to ask my brother something. Do you know where the blues came from?
Sure. The blues came from way back from the people that had troubles.
Church.
And it come out of church. People were going to church because they had trouble trying to get rid of them.
It was singing in a different way.
That's right. But they only were singing on a different bass. Now, that's what the blues were. And that's why they changed it over.
You know, I've been one of the biggest church members you ever seen. Oh, I was great in church when I was a kid.
You know, you just made me think of something about the blues. You say the blues comes from church. It's like the same kind of music that's played in church, only it's a kind of a different, it's not exactly a religious feeling.
Yes,
it's the same kind of...
It's almost the same feeling. You got the same sadness. You got the same... Right. You're expressing yourself how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, like, one day, if I got a chance to come back, I'm going to sing a good church song for you. Maybe I have my guitar, me and my brother will play it for you. I used to play a lot of church stuff, you know.
Well, I'm not saying it right, but it's like I had a picture of the blues being like the other side of what happens in the church.
That's, you know, right.
The same kind of music, only different feeling, a feeling about, not about God, but about what men are doing to you.
Right.
That's right.
And women, too.
And church, they will be telling their God about how they are treated. Yeah. And out in the field we're in, we're telling the people how we've been treated and how we have got along, how we're getting along, you know. So it blues based on hard treatments in a woman.
This is WBAI in New York City. It's Muddy Waters and Otis Swan in 1963.
Like the devil's music, unholy music? I mean, is that...
Well, that's what my grandmother told me when I first picked up a harmonica. I was on her mind. She said, well, son, you're sinning. You're playing for the devil. The devil will get you, you know. So that was in me to try to do this particular thing. I wanted to be two things, a big preacher... A well-known preacher, a well-known musician. I couldn't preach, so there was nothing left for me to do but grab a guitar.
I think you did both. What was the first blues that you can remember hearing?
You know, that's a question I can't answer because I've been listening to blues all of my life. When I was a young kid, you take Lonnie Johnson... He's recording, I know, when I was a boy.
Well, I don't mean on a record. I mean just hearing the first blues you ever learned or heard sung.
First blues I ever heard that I remember good, I called myself singing it myself from a kid. I mean, I didn't know what I was saying because they used to laugh at me about it. I used to say, I don't want no woman with chowder ham on my bones. I don't know what chowder ham is. You know, so I don't know today what it meant, but that was my song. I just sing it all the time. My mother said when I was a little kid, I go around the house beating on a bucket. I don't want no woman to chow a hair on my bone. I did that all day long. and I had one of those 5-gallon cans at home. They call it Coroy, you know. So that's what they used to go get their oil. Man. It's casein now, you know. But at my home, it was cola at the time. So every time I get empty, I got that can on top of beaten and plain. I don't want no woman to chala hair on my bones. So it's the funny thing after I got grown, you know, I still haven't figured out what do chala hair my bones mean, you know. I don't even know what it means, you know. But that's what's in my mind, to sing it, you know, and I did it.
Wow, it must have worked. It doesn't look like whatever it from is, you got it.
From a colored can to a guitar was beautiful, you know.
Where'd you get your first guitar?
First guitar I bought cost me $2.50. I got it from some friends. I guess it didn't cost over $5 at the time, you know. So I saved dime, nickels, and dime till I got $2.50. I bought the guitar from a young man. And his name was Ed Moore. He sold me the guitar for $2.50. And the first time I played on it, I made 50 cents. At one of those all-night places. We call them honky-tonks at home, you know. I made 50 cents. And then I played very, very good. And the same man raised my salary to $2.50 a night.
You started piling up guitars.
Oh, man, I know what I was doing. All I wanted from Susan Roebuck cost $11 and stuff. So that had to be a beautiful box then, you know. And after I got to $2.50, I said, I think I should go out further, you know. I came to St. Louis. I went to St. Louis. And I couldn't get nothing to do then. I said, well, that $2.50 be nothing, you know. And I went straight back to Clarksville and got with my box. And I got slick then, you know. I seen people on the street playing, you know, collecting nickels and dimes and quarters. I said, I know what I can do. I'm going to do it myself. And I went back on the corner, that's the Queen of the 4th Street. And it was a wonderful thing. I had my cigar box sitting down, and I was sitting up on a Coca-Cola box, and I had to the crowd. The police moved me. You got to get off the street, baby. I'm sorry, they didn't talk that day and stuff. You got to get off the street, boy. You can't play. Yeah, I changed and went over on Sunflower and got on the corner there. Every time I run from one corner, I go to another one. So at closing time in those little towns, around 12 o'clock at night, you know, everything's closed. 12 o'clock that night, I made myself $27 or $40. Sometimes I made $40 one time. I said, I ain't going to play no more. This is it.
I'm going to retire.
This is it. You know, so that's the way coming up through this life. You got to have some hassles. You know, you just don't walk up in here. That's beautiful. Here I am. Take me. These kids today, they just walk up in, get a good time, buy up some amplifier. And the first thing you know, they got the LP out. Next thing you know, their name's hanging everywhere. It wasn't like that when I was coming. Too much. Hungry some days, tired, nowhere to sleep. And I made a record of that. I made a record about that. So there have been so many nights I laid down, didn't have I walked around with no place to sleep. But my mother told me to take the bitters with the sweet. It was a beautiful blues I made. Didn't sell them about 5,000, I guess. I liked it.
Can you do that now?
Well, let us know. We'll have to have some guitar things and all this stuff to do these things. I tell you what I'm going to do for you now.
All right.
I'm going to do something that really so good for me. I did a Hoochie Coochie Man. I was getting up in the big time, man, when I did Hoochie Coochie Man. I'm going to sing that for you. I think we can do that. Do it in A. I believe we can do this a little bit. We got to stop time to it. The gypsy woman told my mother,
before I was born. You got a boy child coming. He's gonna be a son of a gun. He's gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what this all about. But you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Well, you know that hoochie coochie man. Everybody knows I'm here. I got a black cat bone. I got a mojo too. I got the John the Conqueror. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna make you girls leave me by my hand. Then the world will know that I'm that hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Well, you know I'm that hoochie coochie man. Everybody knows I'm here. On the 7 hour, on the 7 day, on the 7 month, the 7 doctors said you were born for good luck, and that you see, I got $700. Don't you mess with me, but you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Well, you know I'm that hoochie coochie man. The whole round world know I'm here. I'm sorry, I didn't sound like a hoochie man. I'm hoarse.
I ride a mail train, baby. Can't buy a thrill. I've been up all night, leaning out the windowsill. And if I die at the top of the hill, and if I don't make it, I know my baby will. Now don't the moon look good shining through the trees? And don't the brakemen look good flagging down a double E? Or don't the sun look good setting over the sea? And don't my gal look fine coming after me?
now the wintertime's coming. Windows are filled with frost. I tried to tell everybody, but I could not get it across. I want to be your lover, baby. Don't want to be your boss. Just don't say I never warned you. If your train get lost.
In a lonely night, in the blinking stardust of a pale blue light, you come and fool me in black and white. People made of dreams. You're blowing down with shaking steel. You're here in my heartbeat, in the record breaking wheel, where we were born. Not one more night, not one more kiss, not this time, baby, no more of this. Takes too much skill, takes too much will, it's too real. Here came your thought, just like the law. You married young, just like your mom. You tried and tried, you made me slide. You left me reeling with this feeling. On the rising curve, where the ways of nature will test every nerve. You don't get it if you don't deserve where we were born.
Mama, take these bags off of me. I can't use it anymore.
getting dark, too dark to see. And I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Just a many times more. I'ma wipe the blood out of my face. I just can't see through it anymore. Got a long black feeling and it's hard to trace. Feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Just like so many times before.
and many a time in many a land, with many a gun in many a hand. They came by the night, they came by the day, came with their guns to take us away. With a knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more, one more. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, they died by the cross and they died by the fire. In the stone Colosseum, the crowd gave a roar, and it all began with that knock on the door. Just a knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more, one more. The years have all passed, we've reached modern times. The Nazis have come with their Nazi war crimes. Yes, the power was there, the power was found. 6 million people have heard that same sound. That old knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more, one more. Now there's many new words and many new names. The banners have changed, but the knock is the same. On the Soviet shores, with right on their side, I wonder who knows how many have died. With their knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more, one more. Look over the oceans, look over the lands, look over the leaders with the blood on their hands. And open your eyes and see what they do. When they knock over their friend, they're knocking for you. With their knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more. With their knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more, one more.
Remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.